Today on Real Life Radio.
Don't put your trust or value in the things of this world. And if you do have stuff from a grain of sand or more, just manage it to the glory of God.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. If you picked up your copy of the one-year Bible yet, we'll be reading that one-year Bible as a church family in 2024, so why don't you join us as we go through the one-year Bible together from cover to cover. It'll be awesome to see how God's Word comes alive through the pages of Scripture. It's an unforgettable devotional experience, and once you see how much God loves you, you will never be the same. The one-year Bible is available for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called The Book of Philippians with a message titled The Power of Giving, Part 2. Here now, as we continue in Chapter 4, we'll consider the practical side of Christianity by putting our money where our faith is. Now, you see, the Apostle Paul is speaking to, a very generous church who shared what they had to help him in his time of distress. Some may find the topic of giving as offensive, but to Paul, giving comes from the heart of God and should be talked about. So today on this part of the message, Pastor Jack says that God has an amazing economic structure. He takes temporary things of this world and transforms them into tools for His eternal kingdom. Now, with his message called The Power of Giving, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
The only money that we will ever see again is that which has been given away. Isn't that a great statement? The only money that we will ever see again is that which has been given away. What a brilliant statement. The application. Every time I think about stuff like this, have you been to the Dead Sea? The Dead Sea is amazing. First of all, if you can't make it to the Dead Sea, it's okay. Just go down to the California Salton Sea. Looks exactly the same. Have you been to La Quinta, Palm Desert, Rancho Mirage area? Looks just like the Dead Sea area. Same trees, same mountains, same everything. Here's the deal. What's interesting about the Dead Sea is the life-giving waters that flow down and out of and from the melting snows of Mount Hermon in the north, and the headwaters of the Jordan River coming out of Caesarea Philippi. And the water's gushing, and there's trout in the river. You see them there, it's beautiful. And when the Jordan is coming out of the ground, linking up with the melting snow, you can just scoop your hand up and drink the water. It's coming right out of the earth, bubbling up out of the ground. It's amazing. And 25 feet away, there's trout swimming right there. It's amazing. Flows all the way down and it waters the lush, beautiful Transjordan Valley, agricultural wonder. Flows down through the desert, goes past Jericho, heads on down, and it flows right into the Dead Sea, and that beautiful life-giving water is destroyed in the Dead Sea. The Dead Sea's big and it's wet, but it's dead. You want to know why it's dead? Because there's no outlet. Life-giving water flows into it, but it's got nowhere to go. It goes nowhere. It's the lowest place on earth. Can't go up. And it dies there. The Dead Sea. A believer can be like that. Oh, God bless me. God bless me. God bless me. Look, God loves you and He wants to bless you, but why should He bless you if you're just going to be a Dead Sea? Oh, Lord, fill me up so I can be filled up. No, Lord, fill me up that I can be spilled out. Jesus said in John 7 that the Holy Spirit, who's to fill you up, wants to, out of your innermost being, gush forth like rivers of living water. The believer was designed to be a channel. The power of giving literally puts us there before the throne of God, because the moment we get involved and the moment that we begin to do these things, we're like Jesus on earth. We're doing his business. We're loving in his name, and we're doing it practically. And there'll be a day of accounting. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 9, the Bible says, therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to him, that is God. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. That's the Bema seat, B-E-M-A, the Bema seat. Christian, raise your hand if you're a Christian. You Christian, raise your hand. Every one of us will appear before the judgment seat of Christ. You say, I didn't think I was going to be judged. Oh, you're going to be judged. But hallelujah, it's regarding what you've done in your body. It has nothing to do with heaven or hell. Whew, that's the great white throne judgment. You will not be there. Only non-believers will be at the great white throne judgment, and that is their condemnation. The Christian, you and I will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And what does that verse say in Corinthians? It says that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. The word is motive, good or bad motive. What was your motive behind your giving? God is going to expose our motive. And I don't know, don't panic too much about that. Just, I've learned over all these years, here's what I do. When the Bible says no man can know his own heart, do you understand that? Our hearts are desperately wicked. Who can know our heart? God knows our heart. Here's the thing. Lord, I hope my motive is right in what I'm about to do. And if it's wrong, change it. But Lord, I know this. I'm going to default and do the right thing, and I'll let you judge my motive, and I pray that's the right motive. Because for me to do nothing is absolutely inexcusable. Think of it. Listen to what Leonard Ravenhill had to say. You never have to advertise a fire. Everyone comes running when there's a fire. Likewise, if your church is on fire, you will not have to advertise it. The community will already know it. In other words, when you and I leave this building today, wherever we go back home to serve the Lord, you can be like embers catching your community, catching your neighborhood on fire. By how? You say, well, my neighbors are sick of hearing about Jesus. Then don't tell them about Jesus anymore. Show them Jesus. Give them Jesus. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure about my motive. Forget your motive. Ask God to make your motive right and do the right thing. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9. 1 Corinthians 3, 9 says, for we are God's fellow workers. Isn't that amazing? What is God invites us to get involved in his work. It's like, I would not. You know, are you the kind of person that says, oh, forget it. I'll just do it myself. It's going to take me longer to explain it to you than for me to get it done. That I'm terrible that way. That's what I'll do. I'll just do it myself, and I'm not going to tell anybody. That's not leadership. It's certainly not parenting. I need you to take out the trash, and then I need you, forget it. I'll do it myself. You'll never teach them how to take out the trash or do anything. We have to pass it along. And God says, hey, I want you to be a fellow worker with me. He says, for we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field, you are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given to me, as a wise master builder, Paul says, I have laid the foundation, another builds on it, but let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay, which is lay, this is Christ Jesus. By the way, the plaque I'm standing on right now has that verse right here. Can you hear that? It's beneath my feet. No other foundation can anyone lay than that which is Christ Jesus. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, or stubble, each one's works will become clear, for the day will declare it. That's the day of Christ. Because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned or burned up, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so by fire. What does that mean? Every believer, when called upon and given an opportunity to take what they have or to go through what they're experiencing to honor Christ, you're going to pass through the judgment eye of Christ, the keen vision of Christ, and that which has been done in his name and glorifies his name will be a blessing. And please don't fix or be fixated on monetary things. I know many of you are going through very fiery trials, great difficulties, pain, suffering, fear. And you hang on to Christ, right? You're hanging on to him. And you go through that fire. You're going through that testing. You're going through that issue. And there's people watching. Have you ever gone through something that's very trying and you look around and there's nobody watching and you're wondering, what good is this? Sometimes, you know what? I've had to remind myself. I remember years ago when for months and months, that doctors thought I had intestinal cancer and I was going through all kinds of tests. It's horrible. And I remember him being in some of those situations and I'm wondering, God, how am I supposed to be a witness in this? There's nobody in the room. There's nobody here. And I don't know if this works for you or not, but I just kind of sense the Lord impressing upon my heart from the word. He says, you know, when the Bible is taught, angels listen in and look in upon. Jack, if there's nobody around, just know angels are watching. And that was enough for me. That was enough for me. In Luke chapter 12, now listen, this is in the negative. In Luke chapter 12, verse 21, Jesus says, so is he who lays up treasures for himself, selfish, and is not rich toward God. I've got this, I've got that, I've done this, I've done the other, and God says, watch out. You want to be rich towards God. We'll see the positive of that in a moment. And Malachi chapter 3, verse 8. Malachi 3, 8. The Bible says, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me, says the Lord. In what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse. For you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. I believe that's God's answer, as I said last time, to the welfare system. And try me. This is the only time in all the Bible where God says, regarding this truth, you try me, test me. He's begging us, see if it's true, says the Lord. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing that there will be not room enough to receive it. That's a challenge. God is inviting us to get involved and by doing so, be before his throne.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
In Luke 16, I know I'm giving you a lot of verses, but it's good for us. Luke 16, verse 10 says, Jesus speaking, who is a faithful or trustworthy in what is least? Small. The word least here, when Jesus says, who's faithful in what's least? The word is sand, a grain of sand. Isn't that funny? Can we all not be faithful with a grain of sand? Jesus goes on to say, is faithful also in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust true riches, the management of our wealth as Americans or as Christians. It's amazing. It's awesome to me that God's economy is so cool because of the conversion rate, as we've mentioned before. Four things I wrote down. I want you to think about this. I mean, I don't know if it affects you like it did me, but you know, you and I live, what time? It's exactly 15 minutes after the hour, Earth time. We live in the Pacific time zone. How do we really, by this challenge of the power of giving, affect the throne of God or affect eternity right now? How does that happen? I just wrote down four things. You may have more. When you and I worship, didn't we just worship a moment ago in singing? Did that affect God? Did we go from the Pacific time zone immediately? We left it into what? Eternity, right? Think of that. That means all around the globe, constantly, think about it. There's Christians worshiping, praising the Lord, blessing God in song and praise. From their time zone, it enters eternity, which is timelessness. Can you imagine the amount of praise that is arriving before the Lord right now? All around the world. No wonder why Satan never has a good day. Every day, worship and praise is going on. And so worship affects eternity. The second thing is this. We know that witnessing to other people immediately affects eternity. You say, how so? When you share with somebody about Jesus, the Bible says that when a sinner repents, angels rejoice. How do you put that on your clock, on your watch? When you witness, you will immediately affect eternity. Third thing, when you pray, obviously when you pray. The moment you pray, whatever time zone you're in goes into eternity. Is that not spiritual investments? Fourth thing is this, obviously, when you give. Somehow, when you give, it affects eternity. I don't know how, but it's a spiritual act. Verse 18, Paul says it this way. The power of giving puts us there before the throne. We each make our own deposits. Each of us make our deposits. He says, indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, and I have received from Epaphroditus the things which you sent or gave, forwarded. Number one, notice the characteristics. It's a sweet-smelling aroma. Number two, it's acceptable sacrifice. Number three, it's well-pleasing to God. Three things. When we make deposits in our eternal or heavenly account, it matters. I told you last time together that this word abound means to be superabounding. It means to have quality upon or quantity upon quantity. It's amazing. But to make deposits, we all make deposits. I don't know. Does anybody write checks anymore? I mean, I don't know. I went into the bank the other day. I didn't even know what I was doing. I could hardly find the bank for one thing. Because everything's online these days. I walked in there. It seemed so strange. It's like, oh, wow, so much has changed. And walked in there. I didn't even know how to fill out the deposit slip. And on top of it, it was a check from Canada. And I filled out the stuff. And I said, can you help? What's this? And then I handed it. Oh, shoot, we can't do that. After all the work I just did, lady, what's the deal? It's from Canada. It's got to get clearance and all kinds of weirdness. And it's like, man, you know what? It's much easier. Christian, it's so much easier to make a deposit with God. Walk in the Spirit, right? Constantly we're making deposits. I make my own and you have to make your own. The church, though we are collective, we do it individually. Now, here's the positive to the negative I mentioned a moment ago. In Luke chapter 6, verse 19, Jesus says, do not lay up, make deposits for yourselves, treasures on earth. He's not saying you can't own anything. Don't put your trust or value in the things of this world. And if you do have stuff from a grain of sand or more, just manage it to the glory of God. Where moth and rust destroy and thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves, that's make deposits, treasures in heaven, where there neither moth nor rust nor thieves break in and steal. Look, verse 21, for where your treasure is, that is where your deposits are, there your heart will be also. Is that not true? Oh, that's so true. That's powerfully true. Paul draws from his Old Testament knowledge in this verse 18, it's awesome what he does. It's so mature. I want to be like this. He takes his knowledge from the Old Testament, being a good, faithful Jew, being a Pharisee, being the man of intelligence that he was, and he uses banking terms of the first century church. And he doesn't make any apologies. He uses verbiage from the banking world, from the investment world of his day, and he mixes it with the Old Testament practices of a sacrifice to be placed on the altar that would be consumed before the Lord. And Paul had no problem with the secular sacred division at all. It was all sacred. He makes deposits. The Bible says that pure, truthful, undefiled religion is this, that we do what? That we visit the widows, right? Take care of the fatherless. That we conduct ourselves in a way by deposits. Now, as a pastor, I want you to know that in my mind, I would like to walk up to each and every one of you and make you do something. But that would be the wrong motive on my part and on your part, right? True worship and true bringing your offering before the Lord, the throne, has got to come from that willing heart. Does God want any kind of offering from you without a willing heart? None whatsoever. None whatsoever. He says it's a sweet smelling aroma. If you've read, and you better have read, your Old Testament, that rings true to you in a moment. Sweet smelling aroma. Hey, that's talking about the sacrifice. That's talking about the burnt sacrifice. I did some research on this, and Erdősheim, a scholar, if you ever want to read something deep and big, Erdősheim is amazing. And he's talking about the temple. And boy, if things changed. He said, first of all, you know, the scripture teaches, by the way, that God says, bring me the fat. Did you know that? Bring me the fat and offer it up there. Number one, there's carcinogenics in the fat. Fat physically is not good for you. You shouldn't go around eating fat. God says, bring it to me. But Erdősheim points out that animals in those days were very different than animals today. They had very little fat in those days. They were very lean. They were very, very differently fed. And God says, number one, bring me the fat and burn it. It's just interesting that the fat has got poisons in it. God says, bring that to me. Apply that as you would. Bring me the poison. I'll take care of that for you. But isn't it interesting that when it's dedicated to God and it's burned on the altar of the Lord, it's a sweet smelling aroma? Listen, when your heart's right before the Lord and you're giving what you have in time and love and effort and care to others, the Lord's going, wonderful. Our lives, as we live, we're supposed to smell like that, not stink, smell like that, right?
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio with his message called The Power of Giving, Part 2. Thanks for being here today. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Book of Philippians. It's a letter written by the Apostle Paul to give light and hope to all who give their lives for the sake of the gospel. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. I have Pastor Jack in the studio right now, and we're catching up about our current featured resource, the one-year Bible. So, Pastor Jack, you and I were talking about the one-year Bible, of course.
Right.
And you said that it can make a big church small and a small church big. What does that mean?
Yeah, for 30 years now, we have introduced every year, leading up to the new year, the one-year Bible. I think it's published by Tyndale. That's irrelevant. But it's the one-year Bible. And for us, when we were a small church, it really was us reading the Bible through as a church family.
Yeah.
And what I used to say was, and you almost had it right, it makes a small church powerful.
Oh, got it.
But okay. As the years went on and the church grew into the many thousands that do now attend, it makes a big church small.
Yeah.
How's that? It puts everybody on the same page literally every day. So we have sold many thousands and thousands of these one-year Bibles over the years. And it's just beautiful. It's great. People love it. And it's a great challenge. And yeah.
So the first time I did it, it took me like 3 years. Like, no kidding. Because
So the 1 year felt like three years.
It literally took me 3 years. But here's the thing. And I remember you saying this to a bunch of us last year. Just catch up on the day that we're on.
Yes. I'm a big fan, everybody. We've all bought devotions and embarked upon a devotion, and then we get the flu, or we got to travel, or we forget, and then we're behind. And then the first thing you know, by January 15th, you're a week behind, and you throw the devotion in the trash because now you're so guilty.
Right.
And again, we learned over the years, forget all that. Read the day that you're on. If you're sick or you're traveling and you miss a week, that's all right. Join us on the day that it is. Stay true to the calendar date that is printed up in that one-year Bible, and we'll be together in spirit.
All right, that's the one-year Bible, and it's our current featured resource. Join us this year, would you? Experience the power of reading through the Bible along with thousands of fellow believers. Receive a copy of the one-year Bible when you give a gift of any amount to the Ministry of Real Life. Here's our website, jackhibbs.com. Once again, jackhibbs.com. You know, Jack Hibbs truly believes that we are living in some of the most exciting days in history. which brings some great opportunities to share with the world a powerful, no-nonsense presentation of the gospel to this generation, who, by the way, are really searching for answers and for truth. Will you stand with us in sharing this message in real and practical ways? We ask that you commit to support Real Life and the teachings of Jack Hibbs with a gift of your choosing. Simply go to jackhibbs.com. There you'll find instructions on how to give a one-time gift or a recurring gift. If you'd prefer to call, here's that phone number, 877-777-2346. One more time, 877-777-2346. Your gift will be faithfully put to work because it's our desire that through Jesus Christ, you will know real life. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.